This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, January 30th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always. We'll start, of course, 6 days from the Super Bowl. And very interesting headlines in New York. I think it's a little overdone. Disappointing to see that from the New York media, but of course everybody in America is laughing when I say that. But yesterday, Tom Brady at Gillette Stadium, they had like a, I think he called it a pep rally, Tom Brady did. At Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, 25,000 people showed up. This was just before the Patriots were getting on a plane, of course, to fly to Indianapolis. And here's what Brady said that made the back page and even the front page of some of New York's newspapers. And here's the quote from Tom Brady in front of 25,000 at Gillette Stadium. Quote, "We're going down there for one reason. We're going to give it our best, and hopefully we'll have a lot more people at our party next weekend," close quote. Now, to me, and I'm a New York guy, that's almost a harmless quote, but that has been drummed up. And again, you know, people don't need things to talk about. People need things to write about. The New York papers need flashy headlines and back pages to sell newspapers. So that quote became on the back of the Daily News, for example, the New York Daily News, with a picture of Brady. It became "Party on!" exclamation point. Brady tells fans he wants big crowd at Victory Bash. And, of course, they leave out in the headline the "we're going to give it our best, hopefully we'll have a lot more people at our party next week," you know, that kind of stuff. So this is what gets blown out of proportion. It actually led to columnists, and Gary Myers is a pretty well-respected NFL guy, but he does write for the New York Daily News, and, you know, he essentially wrote a column saying this could be motivation for the Giants. In fact, the headline is "Giant Trouble, Tom's Party Plans Could Be Big Motivation for Blue." And again, to me, that's overblown. I mean, he said, what, Eli Manning wouldn't say something similar? You know, just a step to the side on this one, you know, Eli Manning's famous interview before the season start, "Do you consider yourself an elite quarterback?" And he says, "I do consider myself an elite quarterback," and he was essentially mocked. And not necessarily wrongly, he was not an elite quarterback before this year, but to his credit, he went out and played like an elite quarterback. He certainly was an elite quarterback this season. So whatever happens in New York is always multiplied tenfold, 50-fold, 100-fold. Tom Brady did, when he was asked about it, he did say, you know, it was kind of a pep rally and I was playing to the crowd. But to me, and I'm a Giants guy, to me, he certainly didn't say anything wrong. He didn't say anything most other fans would say. He couched it with words like, "hopefully we'll have more people down there," you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, "we're going to give it our best." That's not Joe Namath. We'll win, you know. I mean, it's just not. So those are huge headlines in New York, and you even have columnists who I think should know better writing columns about how this could be bulletin board material. And, you know, I agree. I think Parcells said it. If you got to motivate your guys to play harder in the Super Bowl, then you got the wrong guys in the locker room. So on one hand, it's huge headline, literally back page and front page news in some of the New York newspapers. But really, when you strip it down, as often happens, when you actually read the article and read what the guy said, I think the average reader does not equate that to essentially guaranteeing we're going to beat the Giants so we can have a huge party in Foxborough next week. So take that for what it's worth. But the Patriots did fly out to Indianapolis yesterday. The Giants are going out today. The Patriots will have their first practice today at the Colts facility. Gronkowski was actually filmed, if you saw them getting off the plane. He was actually filmed. He still has a walking boot on that left ankle. You know, it's very interesting because I saw some, they had some mic'd up. I think Gronkowski was mic'd up for NFL Films during the championship game last week, the Ravens and the Patriots. And I got to tell you, after Cundiff missed the field goal, Gronkowski was jumping up and down and running around a little bit. It certainly didn't look like his ankle hurt at all then. And I understand there's adrenaline flowing. I don't know if he got a shot when he went into the locker room and then he came out. He came back into that game, you'll recall. But he certainly seemed fine right after the game on it. But he was seen with a walking boot right after that game on Sunday, and he was seen yesterday getting off the plane in Indianapolis. One person said it was a, quote, protective device, close quote. Another guy said it was a walking boot. It looked like a walking boot to me. I mean, you could see it for yourself. But Gronkowski obviously is a big key. Certainly the Patriots are thrilled with that extra week. And you have to think a guy like him who was able to come back into the game, obviously, before all the swelling set in overnight, et cetera. But you have to think a tough guy like Gronkowski, who's an integral part of that offense, maybe the most important weapon, you could argue him or Welker for Tom Brady's list of weapons. Gronkowski, Welker, probably 1-2. But you have to think he's going to play. He's a tough guy. And I'll say it again. Everybody in New York was talking about how lucky the Patriots were to win, and I didn't view it that way at all because Brady played very poorly. He played terrible for Brady. He played poorly for an average NFL quarterback, missing Gronkowski wide open over the middle, missing a few other receivers who were open. He did not play well, and they beat the Ravens, and they scored 23 points, 20 in regulation. He did move the ball down the field five or six times against the Ravens, but in the red zone, of course, they could only score two touchdowns. So we'll wait till Friday and talk about selections. I'm leaning towards the Patriots. I love the Giants, lifelong Giants guy. But you got to figure that they're going to find a way. Well, again, we'll talk about it. Their defense is getting better. They only gave up 10 points to Denver after Denver torched Pittsburgh. They gave up 20 points to the Ravens, and everybody now is talking about how great Joe Flacco is. We'll go back to before that game where Phil Simms was the guy who said Joe Flacco is an excellent NFL quarterback. Show me the throws he couldn't make the week before when he was on his back half the time. Anytime he had time to hit a receiver, he hit the receiver. Again, Phil Simms is a guy, I think, who can change the way you look at a player. And he was the one guy standing up for Joe Flacco before last game. And Flacco played very well against the Patriots. Made some big-time throws. He's a good to very good NFL quarterback already. And he's also led the Ravens to the playoffs four times in 4 years. I understand they have the great defense. So I think the Patriots did a good job holding the Ravens to 20 points. So they've given up 30 points in two playoff games. And no one's saying they're a great defense. And they even interviewed Belichick yesterday and said, in fact, it was Keyshawn Johnson who was interviewing Belichick and said, you're a defensive guy. You were a defensive coordinator with the Giants. How is it your team could be 31st in the league defensively? And Belichick had a very simple answer. You know, those statistics are meaningful, but they're not nearly as important as points scored and who wins the game. We're interested in scoring more points than the other side. And obviously he's saying that from the perspective of a guy who's got the first or second best offense in football. I mean, what they've done with the two tight ends over the last 2 years, they've changed the game of football. People are all looking to make, you know, Vernon Davis with the 49ers. They're all looking to make more plays with their tight ends now than ever before. You know, decades ago, it was viewed as essentially a blocking position. And then you had a guy like a Mike Ditka come along and start to change the perception. And then you can flash forward even to Tony Gonzalez still catching passes in the Pro Bowl yesterday, who really changed the game as well. Now it's viewed to be a very offensive position. And now the Patriots, of course, have taken it a step further by having two. Aaron Hernandez, very good. I mean, he even lines up in the backfield now. So you know the Patriots are going to give the Giants all kinds of twists and turns. But he wasn't upset with that question from Johnson about the 31st rated defense. All he said was, look, we stopped them in the red zone. We played pretty good defense the last few weeks. Our defense is getting better. I'll add again with Patrick Chung back in the secondary. That makes their whole defense better. So the Patriots, I'll say, have an average to slightly above average defense now. Now, that doesn't mean the Giants shouldn't drive the ball down the field and score. They should. The question is, what are the Patriots going to do? Are the Patriots going to try and run the ball, keep their own possession game, throw 4-yard passes to Wes Welker, and try and have 10-minute drives down the field? Well, if they can, that's probably what they're going to do, because with the Giants' pass rush, they're going to have to get rid of the ball quickly. The answer to a pass rush, obviously, is to get it out of your hands quickly. And the Giants know that as well. I mean, Welker is the master of the 4 or 5 yard play. Deion Branch will come back and catch those wide receiver bubble screens. Maybe they'll resurrect Falk and bring him out of the backfield, or Danny Woodhead. So I think the Patriots are going to rely more on the short passing game than ever before. And again, they really don't have a deep threat anyway, and the Giants know all this. On the Giants side, they had a very interesting interview with Eli Manning, who is still Mr. Cool, Calm, and Collected. You know, he said the whole thing's exciting, but, quote, our job's not done yet, close quote. He was even asked about Mark Sanchez, the Jets quarterback, and the beating he took in New York. And Eli said, look, I went through the same thing. Sometimes it's not fair to him. That's the way it is in New York. They want winners. We don't want to lose this game because they don't like second place in New York. Nobody's going to say the Giants had a great season. No New York fan's going to say the Giants had a great season because they made it to the Super Bowl. But I'll say it again. I picked the Giants to be 9-7 and not make the playoffs. So it just shows you, in my view, the weakness and the expansion of the playoffs and what it does to the regular season. The Giants were 7-7, they might win the Super Bowl. The Eagles were 4-8 and had a chance to make the playoffs. If the Giants had slipped to 8-8, the Eagles at 8-8 would have made the playoffs. There's just something basically wrong with that to me. But again, I understand why. Money, money, money. You got to get as many teams as you can in the playoffs. You got to keep as many people alive for a playoff. You're 4-8 with 4 games to go, you're alive for a playoff berth. To me, there's something wrong with that. Eli also talked at length about Peyton Manning, you know, and how difficult it's been for Peyton Manning because he's not playing. The coaches he knows have been fired. Although Eli did say about Peyton, quote, he's handled it well, close quote. He said he's handled it better than Eli thought that Peyton would. And again, they keep bringing up, and I'm not knocking Eli. I'll say it again. He's played like an elite quarterback this year. They brought up that 15 fourth quarter touchdown, most passing touchdowns in the history of the NFL for a season in the fourth quarter. Eli Manning did that with 15 this year, and he broke the mark of 14 held by Peyton Manning and Johnny Unitas. But Johnny U did it in 12 games. So, again, I always think that caveat should be brought up whenever that kind of record is discussed. There are only 10 starting quarterbacks in the history of football in the Super Bowl. So, again, the first Super Bowl was in 1966 season, 67. It was played. There are only 10 starting quarterbacks who have 2 or more Super Bowl wins. Eli trying to join that club, and I think it's a fair statement. I think Coughlin and Eli are in the Hall of Fame conversation if they win this game. And I think they certainly have a good chance to win. Again, we'll talk more about it later in the week. I'm still kind of leaning towards the Patriots to win the game. But in any event, Eli still cool, calm, and collected, trying to join Roethlisberger and Brady as the only two active quarterbacks with 2 Super Bowls. And, of course, we have a few more days to talk about that. But right now, Patriots there practicing at the Colts facility. Giants flying to Indianapolis today. Again, both teams know the drill. Both coaches know the drill. They were both in this game just 4 years ago. So they have a good sense of what's going on and how to approach it. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford. Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh, my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-219-6876. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-219-6876. 800-219-6876. That's 800-219-6876.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right?
Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Get your NFL news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We've got an email from Johnny in Cleveland. Hi, Steve. I was wondering if you could comment on Tom Brady's legacy. If he wins this upcoming Super Bowl, would it make him the greatest ever? Obviously, it is difficult to answer this question, especially in today's passer-friendly era. You could argue that Johnny Unitas is the greatest ever because he was his own offensive coordinator. However, Tom has had quite the amount of success in the salary cap era. Interesting debate. Interesting email. And I like the talk about Brady in the salary cap era because you can't hoard players like you could once upon a time, especially great players. But I think Tom Brady's legacy as maybe the greatest ever would have been true had they won that Super Bowl against the Giants 4 years ago, because they would have had the undefeated season never accomplished except for the Dolphins. Of course, the Dolphins were 14-0 during the regular season and then 3-0 in the playoffs, 17-0. Of course, as you know, the Patriots went 16-0 during the regular season, won two playoff games, 18-0, and then lost the Super Bowl to the Giants. Tom Brady did drive them down the field very late in the game to score the go-ahead touchdown, but Manning came back, Eli Manning, with his own amazing comeback back the other way to win the Super Bowl for the Giants in one of the great upsets in the Super Bowl. So Brady with a fourth Super Bowl victory will tie Bradshaw and Montana. And again, I don't know that you should just talk about Super Bowl era, because a lot of people think there was like no pro football before the Super Bowl. But I think Brady already is one of the all-time great quarterbacks. I think if I had to vote, I'd probably vote for Johnny Unitas. I'd have to go look at some old records. Some people go all the way back to Otto Graham and all the championships he won before the Browns were in the NFL, and then when they were in the NFL. So there's a lot to look at there. Obviously, it takes in a lot. Brady is already cemented as one of the all-time greats. I'll say it again, had he done the undefeated season that nobody has done since Miami, before or after Miami in 72, I think then you could have made the greatest ever claim. It is true that Johnny Unitas, but so did all the quarterbacks back then, call their own game, and that's kind of left the building in recent decades. Although Manning certainly goes up and changes things at the line, Brady does. If you look at a film of a game 10 years ago, never mind 20 years ago, I mean, they called the play, they went up to the line, they set, you know, maybe you had one man in motion and that was it. Now, you walk up to the line and you take 10 seconds, 15 seconds before you call the signals. You point out linebackers who you think are going to be blitzing, you change the play. I mean, it really is a different game from a quarterback perspective. Plus, it's a good, you know, comment about changing the rules. You can't hit the quarterback. You can't hit the receivers outside of 5 yards. I remember reading a couple of things about Don Hutson of the Packers, who I think a lot of old-timers think is the greatest receiver ever, even better than Jerry Rice, because back then you could knock a guy off his feet 20 yards down the field at any time during the play. So it's the old hard to compare eras. Brady is certainly in the conversation. But even if he wins this one, he'll be 4-1 in the Super Bowl, not 4-0. So I thought he had his chance. You will hear people talking about they could have been immortal, Brady and Belichick, had they won that Super Bowl 4 years ago. To me, they're borderline immortal now. Belichick, one of the greatest coaches ever. Brady, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. And then you can debate the others all you want. Now, interestingly, there was an interview on ESPN with Bill Parcells. I think there's like some kind of special. I'll have to look into it when I get the TV listings for Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. A lot of people don't know that Bill Parcells at one time had both Tom Coughlin and Bill Belichick on his staff as assistant coaches. And a lot of people go back to the mid-50s when Vince Lombardi ran the offense for the New York Football Giants and Tom Landry ran the defense for the New York Football Giants. Their coach, nobody remembers his name, was Jim Lee Howell. He was the head coach. But he had two coordinators who turned out to be two of the greatest coaches who ever lived. You know, people today still think Vince Lombardi is the greatest coach who ever lived. And he won those first two Super Bowls. But he also won three other championship games before that. So, again, don't think everything started with the Super Bowl. But the analogy being Bill Parcells had both Coughlin and Belichick on his staff when Parcells was winning Super Bowls in the late 80s and 1990 with his Giant teams. But he did say he takes no credit for their success. He did say they are their own guys. They're both fierce competitors, very intense. They'll be well prepared. Their teams will be well prepared. But he did say, and it is interesting and it's very true, he said, The only thing I'll say is the head coach has the opportunity to hire a lot of coaches, and I was able to hire very good coaches, including Tom Coughlin and Bill Belichick, and that he was proud of their success. I don't think the comparisons quite to Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry are accurate. I think you could put Belichick in their class, I think he is in their class. I don't know if you put Coughlin there yet. But again, if Coughlin and Manning can beat Belichick and Brady and go 2-0 against them to win two Super Bowls, you know, Coughlin maybe is in there. 6 weeks ago, everyone was calling for Coughlin to be fired. He was 7-7. He hadn't won a playoff game in New York except in the year that they won the Super Bowl. And poof, that's how it is in the NFL. You win two games to win your division. You win a few more playoff games and you're in the Super Bowl. I mean, the Giants deserve it, obviously, but, you know, we talked about it before. To me, a 7-7 team still with a chance to make the Super Bowl team, to make the Super Bowl, a 4-8 team in the Eagles still with a chance to make the playoffs. That's just not how it used to be. But that's how it is now, so that's what's important. So I think, finally, to answer the email question, I would argue that Johnny Unitas is the greatest quarterback ever, but, of course, Brady's in the mix. I think Montana's in the mix. From purely a talent perspective, Dan Marino's in the mix. You know the story. Dan Marino made the Super Bowl and then never got back. And later he used to say, I thought, you know, I'd be there forever. And, of course, he's not. Maybe Brett Favre, I'm not sure. But, you know, there are a ton of passers again, going back to Otto Graham, who tore it up, apparently, in the 50s. So you can always have that. It's true in every sport, the generations, the different generations. Could they play today? Could the guys today play back then? Well, again, the rules are so different for passing. You know, Namath threw for 4,000 yards. He was the first guy to do it in 14 games. And I think that's more impressive than anybody today throwing for 5,000 yards because of what the rules are. You know, to me, the only question is it the equivalent of 6,000 yards? But it's hard to compare eras because the rules change so much in football to protect the quarterback. Obviously, the NFL for the last 10 or 15 years is fully aware that their monster TV ratings and superstar money that they get for both the players and themselves, the owners, is based on a quarterback league. And if you don't believe me, just look at where the quarterbacks are hurt. You know, rarely do you go very far, but if you do, you're not even the mega attraction you would be if Peyton Manning had been the quarterback of the Colts this year, or Tom Brady when he missed that full season with Matt Cassel, even though the Patriots won 11 games, they didn't make the playoffs. So it's fascinating stuff going on. We'll have all week to talk about it. We're going to stop with the football talk for now because it is only Monday. But a lot going on out there in Indianapolis as the Giants show up today in Indianapolis for Super Bowl week. Oh, let me just touch on a couple of other things just quickly in football. Jim Caldwell, who was fired as the Indianapolis coach, is now going to become an offensive assistant for the Baltimore Ravens. I think it's looking more and more like Peyton Manning is not going to be a Colt by March 8th. Jim Irsay has to decide whether or not he's going to pay Peyton Manning $28 million. They do have the first pick in the draft. It looks like they're going to draft Andrew Luck. So I think March 8th is D-Day, frankly, and I don't think Peyton Manning's going to say, I don't want to be there. I think he wants his $28 million. So I think that's all going to come to a head. But I just have a sense that Irsay's not going to pay that $28 million and then go hire the most expensive pick in the draft, even though it's not as expensive as it was 2 years ago. And finally, the Pro Bowl. You know, I pay very little attention to the Pro Bowl, but just for the record, the AFC beat the NFC 59-41. I did watch the highlights, and, you know, maybe this was funny when it happened, but the NFC went up 7-0, and then they tried and recovered an onside kick. But you got to think that made the AFC guys mad. So the NFC was winning 14-0. They lose 59-41. To me, showing the hypocrisy of the NFL, they allowed the players to tweet during the game. As I'm sure you know, during the regular season, players are not allowed to use any social media from 90 minutes before the game through all the post-game stuff they have to do during real games. I guess it's an admission that this is not a real game because it's not a real game. Again, for the record, Brandon Marshall of the Dolphins was the MVP, 6 receptions for 177 yards and 4 touchdowns, including one of the most acrobatic catches you'll ever see where he dove for a ball, it got tipped, it bounced off his leg, bounced up in the air, and he literally caught it on his back in the end zone for a touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald, 6 receptions for 111 yards and 3 touchdowns for the NFC, but the final score, AFC 59. NFC 41, and now we'll stop with the football for the day, but of course more later in the week. few other interesting things going on. The Australian Open, of course, a major in tennis. Number one, Novak Djokovic against number two, Rafael Nadal. A fascinating, I was up around 5:30 Sunday morning and got to see the last three sets. A fascinating, long, brutal, tough match. A five-setter with Djokovic finally breaking Nadal at 5-5 in the fifth set to wind up winning the fifth set 7-5. Nadal won the first set, then Djokovic seemed to have it very much in command, winning 6-4, 6-2 the second and third set. Then it was close in the fourth set, and then there was a rain delay. After the rain delay, to me, and again, I was watching from the third set, the fourth set, and the fifth set, it almost seemed to be like a body English thing. In the second and third set, Nadal really wasn't. He looked like he was defeated, but he stopped a triple break point against Djokovic in the fourth set, and then there was a 15-minute rain delay, and then Nadal seemed to really be re-energized. He won the fourth set 7-6. Looked like he started out well early in the fifth set, but Djokovic came back, broke Nadal at 5-5, and won the fifth set and deciding set 7-5 to become the Australian Open champion. Now, these two guys, Djokovic is the number one, Nadal is the number two, but they're the dominant players in tennis now. Between the two of them, they've won the last eight Grand Slams, but Djokovic has won the last three. This particular match took 5 hours and 53 minutes, the longest Grand Slam event in the Open era. The second longest was like 4 hours and 43 minutes, so a full hour more. But now Nadal has lost three straight Grand Slam finals, despite mounting a comeback in this one. And Djokovic has won the last three Grand Slams, trying to become the second guy. Rod Laver did it, I think, in 1969. He's trying to become the second guy to win four Grand Slams in a row, and that'll be in the French Open in the spring. And, of course, he has a chance to do it because he is, right now, the best tennis player on the planet. He is, right now, better than Nadal, despite Nadal's gallant fighting. They're both better now than Roger Federer, who's considered to be the number three, and Andy Murray, who's considered to be the number four, but they don't seem to be able now to beat either Djokovic or Nadal. This is now the next great tennis rivalry, although, again, Djokovic has won the last three Grand Slams. Between Djokovic and Nadal, they've won the last eight Grand Slams. On the women's side, Victoria Azarenka beat Maria Sharapova. Azarenka, her first Grand Slam title, I thought Sharapova could win with her experience, and she's won a few majors before, but it was not to be. Azarenka beat Sharapova in the women's final. Of course, that took place on Saturday, and then the epic men's final on Sunday. A couple of other things going on. We'll go briefly to the HSBC Championship in golf in Abu Dhabi. And, you know, I don't want to go over this over and over again, but people getting excited. Tiger Woods tied for the lead going into the final round. He was tied with Robert Rock, who was ranked 117th in the world. And normally when Tiger is tied or on the lead, I'm sure you know this, after three rounds, he almost always wins. He hardly ever loses. But it was not to be in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates, as Tiger Woods on the final day shoots a 72. Robert Rock shoots a 70. And Rock is the winner of the HSBC Championship. Rory McIlroy shoots 69 to finish second. Tiger shot a 72 to finish tied for third. And again, I'll say it again, you just can't duplicate what Tiger was before. Swing, I don't know. Competitive spirit still there. But he is older. He has had injuries. And I'll say it again, he just doesn't have that, I don't know what you would call it, but that fear or that adrenaline rush or whatever it was, the way he was living with all these different women back then, I really think that's affected his play from a will-I-ever-be-caught perspective. My adrenaline's always rushing. I'm going like a crazy man 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's gone. And Tiger was interviewed afterwards. He seemed subdued. He said, I had a chance right there to win the tournament. Quote, I just didn't do it, close quote. Quote, I was, quote, just a touch off, close quote. But he's now gone 26 starts without a win. And again, I'm not saying Tiger won't win more golf tournaments. I'm not even saying he won't win more majors. But the notion that he's going to get to 19 and beat Jack Nicklaus, to me, that's not going to happen. This is the Steve Callis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion, and now on your phone. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A few interesting games in the NBA yesterday. The attraction was, of course, the Chicago Bulls going down to Miami to play the Miami Heat. And the Stars did what the Stars did. LeBron, 35 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Rose, 34 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists for the Bulls. But in the end, it was the Heat, 97, the Bulls, 93. And I think what was exposed here, and we've talked about it at times on this show, the inability of guys to make foul shots. Foul shots just in the regular basis of the game, foul shots in clutch situations. Yesterday, Derrick Rose, a star, an MVP and deservedly so, 34-6-6 yesterday. But he goes to the line after going 12-for-12. He goes to the line very late in the game, has a chance to give the Bulls a lead, 94-93, they're trailing. He misses two free throws. But they foul LeBron, and he misses two free throws. Just bizarre. And then the Bulls can't score. The Heat are still ahead. They foul Mario Chalmers. He makes one of two. So in the six clutch free throws of the game, those three guys went 1-for-6. And the Heat wind up winning 97-93. Now, the Bulls can take something out of that. Rose is the first guy to score 30 or more against the Heat this year. Lou Aldang was not playing for the Bulls, and obviously they were on the road. But you just have to wonder, how can it really be pressure? I mean, this is the MVP of the league, Derrick Rose. Can LeBron really miss all these shots? Now, LeBron, to his credit, he has a streak of 22 straight games with 15 points, or at least 15 points, at least 5 rebounds, and at least 5 assists per game for 22 straight games. You have to go back to Oscar Robertson in 1965 for a longer streak. Now, I find that whole thing interesting as well, because if you look at especially Oscar, and I've looked at this in the past, Oscar Robertson averaged a triple-double, I think it was in 61-62. But I once did a study of Oscar's first 5 years in the league, and I think he was like one-tenth of an assist per game of averaging a triple-double for 5 years in a row, his first 5 years in the league, averaging a triple-double. I mean, those things are unheard of. And I know this, when Oscar played, you only got an assist if your pass led directly to a basket. If a guy actually caught the ball and took a couple of dribbles, shot and scored, that was not an assist back then. So the numbers he really had to have been staggering. So give LeBron credit and give the Heat credit. Heat 97, Bulls 93, Bosch 24 points, 12 rebounds, Dwayne Wade 15.7 assists, 4 rebounds. The big three really was the big three. They didn't get a whole lot of help from anybody else. Nobody else on the team scored more than 5 points. The Heat, I think, can win essentially with the big three and guys like Chalmers, who's become a good point guard in the league, and Mike Miller, if he stays healthy, and Udonis Haslem, who's a good defender. They also have Shane Battier this year. But Chicago is still looking for that second guy. You know the knock on Chicago last year. Who was going to be that second guy after Rose? And he never really showed up. Now, they did go and get Rick Hamilton, but he only scored 11 yesterday on 4-for-16 shooting. Obviously, he's going to have to be better than that. I don't know if Noah or Boozer are the scorers. Kyle Korver showed life yesterday off the bench, 3-for-6 from 3-for-9 points. Korver, as you know, can shoot it with the best of them. So Heat 97, Bulls 93. I was just amazed at the poor performance at the foul line at the end of the game in crunch time by guys like Derrick Rose and LeBron James. Another interesting game, the Lakers go to Minnesota. The Lakers, prior to yesterday, were 11-9 with only one road win for the year. But the Lakers go into Minnesota to play Kevin Love, and they beat Minnesota Lakers 106. Timberwolves 101. The Lakers have now beaten Minnesota 15 in a row. It was only their second road win of the year. Kobe had 35 and 14 rebounds. Gasol 28, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Bynum, 21.7 rebounds. This is really their big three. You know, Derek Fisher starts 5.7 assists. Meta World Peace starts as well. They don't have much of a bench, frankly. But the Lakers do win on the road against the Timberwolves. Kevin Love, as we talked about, the walking double-double, 33 points, 13 rebounds. He just shows up and does it. I mean, it's unbelievable. Ricky Rubio with 8 assists, but only 2 for 13 from the floor. Not a great shooter. I think that's common knowledge. Michael Beasley off the bench from Minnesota, 18 points, 12 rebounds. He's a very good player who's had his problems off the court. Minnesota now at 9-11. The Lakers at 12-9. I should have given you the record of the Bulls. Bulls now 17-5 and the Heat 15-5. Yes, it's early in the year, but as you know, these guys are playing almost every day, it seems like. And that's going to hurt some older teams towards the end of the year, if not already, because we'll go up to Boston where the Cavaliers, who I liked last year, and now they added Kyrie Irving. They did lose J.J. Hickson. But the Cavaliers, down late to the Celtics, come back and beat the Celtics, who had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter at home. Cavaliers 88, Boston 87. No Rondo still for Boston. Kyrie Irving, who's a very good pro already, 23 points on 10 for 13 shooting, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, a complete player. He made a move that was essentially the winning basket. He came down, pick and roll. He splits a double team. He makes a spin move and throws in a lefty layup with 2.6 seconds left that gave them the lead. Paul Pierce comes back the other way and gets a decent look, a tough look, but a decent look, misses at the buzzer. Cavaliers 88, Boston 87, as Boston blows a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Ray Allen, 22 points, 4 for 6 from 3. Pierce, 18.6 rebounds, 5 assists. Garnett, 14 and 7 rebounds. Even Brendan Bass, 13 points, 4 rebounds. But they're not getting a whole lot from their bench, and they don't have Rondo. So the Celtics at 9-10, not even the 500 team. The Cavaliers at 8-11. A very good win for the Cavaliers. And again, Kyrie Irving fits right into the NBA. Other games, who knows what's wrong with the Orlando Magic? Is Dwight Howard just looking for the door? The Pacers hammer the Magic in Orlando, 106-85. The Magic scored 34 points in the second half, 17 in the third quarter, 17 in the fourth quarter. It's getting very bad there. Now, it seems pretty clear that Dwight Howard wants out. He had 24 points and 13 rebounds yesterday. Magic lose three in a row to fall to 12-8. Indiana's a good team this year. They're 13-6. You know, Granger is one of those unsung heroes like Kevin Martin of the Rockets. Granger has 24 points. West with 16 points. That's David West with 16 points and 7 rebounds. Collison, 11 points and 10 assists. I mean, the Pacers have a good team. I don't think they have a superstar. They have a quiet star in Granger. Hibbert, the big man, 7.6 rebounds. Hill off the bench, 16.6 rebounds, 4 assists. But they have a very good team, Indiana. Orlando, you know, who knows what's happening with them. Turkoglu, 2 for 8. Anderson, 3 for 8. Even Jason Richardson, 5 for 11, he had 13 points. But there's just no help for Dwight Howard. And you know Dwight Howard, the more this happens, the more he's looking for the door. You got to wonder if Stan Van Gundy's in a little jeopardy down there in Orlando, because the team is just not playing. Their second-half production, frankly, has been putrid. Another interesting game, the Clippers go into Denver to play the Nuggets. Now, you've heard George Karl talking lately. You know, he's probably reveling in the fact that Carmelo and the Knicks are doing horribly this year. I mean, it's unbelievable. We'll talk about the Knicks in a minute. But he makes a point of saying, I have no superstars. I have a lot of very good players. We talked about it last year when they made the trade to get guys like Gallinari and Mozgov, who I thought would be an excellent backup center on a championship team. He's now starting for Denver. They got Felton for last year. He's not with them this year. I mean, they got some very good players from the Knicks for Carmelo. Yesterday, it was Chauncey Billups' return to Denver. He's a Denver native, as you know. And he had a heck of a game. 32 points, 6 for 12 from 3, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Chauncey Billups returns to Denver and leads the Clippers to a 109-105 victory over the Nuggets. Chris Paul doing what he's supposed to do, 25 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. Blake Griffin, I thought, taking a little bit of a backseat to Chauncey Billups yesterday, and Chauncey's return to Denver, 17 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists for Griffin. Again, they have a very good team, the Clippers. They're in the mix. They have a better record than the Lakers. You can make a case they're better than the Lakers. Clippers move to 11-6. Denver drops to 14-6. Nene, 18 points, 9 rebounds. Gallinari, a star in the making, 17.7 rebounds. Andre Miller, the old veteran, 16 points, 10 assists. Al Harrington off the bench, 16 points. Nuggets have a good team. Clippers have a good team. They're both playoff teams in the West. But yesterday, the Clippers beat the Nuggets in Denver. Clippers 109, Denver Nuggets 105. I did want to speak briefly about the Knicks. You know, the Knicks are incredibly lucky that the Giants are in the Super Bowl, because they've been playing about as bad as you can play, and yet nobody's noticing in New York. They've lost 10 of 11. They've lost to some terrible teams. Carmelo's been out for a few games now. Amari Stoudemire is, you know, shaky, frankly, from time to time. They say they have to give him time off, and then sometimes he plays, and it looks like he's not even in the game. Tyson Chandler, I thought, would shore up the defense. I thought the Knicks would be much better. But so far, it just hasn't worked out. A lot of people in New York calling for D'Antoni's head, and I think it will come to a head right after the Super Bowl, because right now the fan base is really not paying attention, because the Giants are in the Super Bowl, and of course, all credit to the Giants for making the Super Bowl, but it really, you got to think some of the happiest people are the New York Knicks owners, and specifically their coach, because while they get smacked around on talk radio in New York, it's for like 5 minutes. Whereas if the Giants weren't in the Super Bowl, all you would have heard about in New York last week is how bad the Knicks are. Yesterday, one other game, interesting game. The Spurs, still no Ginobili, go down to Dallas. An exciting game. They make a mad dash down 11 in the fourth quarter. The Spurs do to tie up the game. But the Mavericks come back to win it in overtime. Mavericks 101, Spurs 100. Interesting game because Parker and Duncan, no Ginobili. Parker and Duncan for the Spurs did not play in the fourth quarter. You know, Danny Green was making shots. Neal was making shots to bring them back into the game. Danny Green actually scored at the buzzer, you thought, in regulation to win the game for the Spurs, but they reviewed it, and boy, this was as close as it could be. You see the ball kind of still touching his fingertips as the red light around the backboard goes on. So he scored a basket at the buzzer that you thought gave the Spurs the win, but it didn't. It forced overtime. And in the overtime, the Mavericks get the win. Dallas 101. The Spurs 100. Vince Carter with 21 for Dallas. Dirk Nowitzki, first game back after injury, 10 points, only 5 for 14 from the field, 13 rebounds. Jason Terry, the main man off the bench, 34 points, 4 assists. Dallas ekes out a 101-100 win over the Spurs. Duncan with 12-6 for the Spurs. Jefferson, excuse me, with 12-7 rebounds for the Spurs. Tony Parker did not have a good game, only 9 points, 4 assists. But it was Neal off the bench with 19 and Green off the bench with 12 that led the comeback that got San Antonio to overtime. But then Dallas ekes out the win. Dallas now 13-8. San Antonio, no Ginobili, drops to 10-9. One other word, the Lakers are considering signing Gilbert Arenas. I don't know if you can call him troubled Gilbert Arenas or goofy Gilbert Arenas. I mean, he seems like a very entertaining guy when you hear him speak, but he does also seem like even a little ditzy, an incredibly talented player. But he was in Washington, as you know. He had all those issues with the guns, which was just bizarre. He only averaged 8 points a game for the Magic last year. And now he's not playing in the league, but apparently the Lakers are considering signing Gilbert Arenas, who, again, you know, it's like with Baron Davis. If he's healthy and his head is screwed on right, Gilbert Arenas is a very good NBA player. But the Lakers, who do need a lot of help, they don't have much depth. They've only won two games on the road this year. Reportedly now considering signing Gilbert Arenas. A few college basketball games quickly. Number 3, Ohio State buries number 20, Michigan, 64-49, and now 19-3. Lenzel Smith Jr. had a game-high 17 and a career-high 12 rebounds for Ohio State. Sullinger had foul trouble, but he finished with 13. Number 3, Ohio State, 64 over 20. Number 20, Michigan, 49. Number 8, North Carolina beats Georgia Tech at Chapel Hill. North Carolina, 93. Georgia Tech, 81. Harrison Barnes with 23 points. John Henson, the big man, 13 points and 4 blocks. And number 19, UConn, loses their third game in a row. They lose to Notre Dame 50-48. Ryan Boatwright, you probably don't know that name. He's just come back. He has missed 3 games because there was an NCAA investigation into his eligibility, but now he's allowed to play. He only had 6 points last night. Down 3, Jeremy Lamb of UConn made the first foul shot just before the buzzer, made the first foul shot, missed the second on purpose. So at that point, UConn's down 2. Lamb actually goes in and is able to get the rebound and get a shot up from about 7 feet away, but it didn't go. Notre Dame 50, UConn 48. Quickly on the NHL All-Star game, again, not much on the All-Stars, but Team Chara beats Team Alfredson. They literally choose up sides. Chara's team 12, Alfredson's team 9. Marion Gaborik of the Rangers gets a hat trick and the MVP for the game. Again, not a whole lot there, but Gaborik with 3 goals, Jeffrey Lupul with 2 goals, and Daniel Alfredson of Ottawa, and the game was in Ottawa, so obviously he was a big favorite. He had 2 goals for the losers. Team Chara 12, Team Alfredson 9. One highlight over the weekend, if you're into this stuff, Zdeno Chara, he's the 6'9 defenseman for the Bruins. He's unbelievable. He set the all-time record for the fastest shot, 108.8 miles per hour. I mean, that's just unbelievable. But that's what Chara can do. Obviously a big, strong guy who, when he gets it clean off his stick, 108.8 miles an hour again. That's just amazing. One final golf note, the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. Kyle Stanley looked like he had his first PGA title wrapped up. He went up to the 18th with a 3-stroke lead. He started the day with a 5-stroke lead, but even walking into the last hole, he has a 3-stroke lead. So he just needs a double bogey to win. Unfortunately, from 85 yards away, he was trying to lay up on the green over a water hazard. He hit it right in the middle of the green, but it rolled back into the water, so he had to take a drop. He hit it again. He was about 45 feet away from the hole, but if he 2-putts, he wins. But he takes the first putt, and then he has a 4-footer to win the game, to win the tournament, and he misses. So he 3-putts for an 8 on the 18th hole. That allows Brent Snedeker to tie him. They go and have a playoff, and you know what's going to happen once that happens. Snedeker wins the playoff on the second playoff hole. He makes a short putt for par. Stanley misses a short putt for bogey. Snedeker wins, Stanley second. The difference between first and second money-wise, $432,000, but Stanley obviously was more upset about the fact that he had lost the tournament, which would have been his first PGA tournament. He said, "I'm in shock." They said he was crying afterwards. You know, and you just have to see how he comes back from it, if he comes back from it, because that's the key. People blow tournaments in big spots, but how do you come back from that? That's the key. Tonight on TV, NBA doubleheader on the NBA channel, Bulls at Wizards, 7 o'clock Eastern. Thunder at Clippers, 10:30 Eastern. Obviously a great game to watch. Oklahoma City at Paul and at the Clippers with Chris Paul. That's at 10:30 Eastern. College basketball, ESPN doubleheader, Pittsburgh at West Virginia, 7 p.m. Eastern. Pittsburgh playing much better now. Missouri at Texas right after, 9 o'clock Eastern. If you're into women's college basketball, UConn at Duke, 7 p.m. ESPN2, 7 p.m. Eastern. And if you're a hockey addict, tonight is the AHL All-Star Game, the Minor League American Hockey League All-Star Game. That's also 7 p.m. Eastern on MSG. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.